Hi, it's Dave here and I'm with my wife Kathy.
Hello.
This is the cinema aisle, it's where we walk to the movies.
Today we're racing to the movies.
Yeah, because we're a little late.
A little late.
So hopefully we don't miss any of this because we're already past the billing time. But you know, you got... And the problem is this...
You don't have to race your speech as well as your legs.
You got to talk really fast because the problem is that this new cinema, the Light Cinema, which is a great cinema, but the problem is... It's not a problem, but they tend to have fewer trailers and ads before the movie, which only gives us a 20-minute margin of error instead of 30. So it's really thrown us off our
game.
And
it's a good thing because usually I complain about trailers, but when you tend to be as late as we do... It's an issue.
Yeah, it's not their problem, it's ours.
And it's one of the sunniest days of the year to set the scene, and we're going to leave the sun on a Sunday afternoon and go straight into a horror movie.
Yes. Perfect weather to see Us, the new Jordan Peele movie. Let's wrap this up really quick because we've got to go inside. We liked Get Out. We're excited to see this.
It was in my top movies of 2017 when we did our end of year review. We hadn't caught it in the cinema, but we had caught it at home. And it was in my top movies. It might have been in yours, Dave. I can't remember.
I like that expression, caught it. We caught it.
We caught it at home.
As if it was just like, you know, like just in the nebula. And we were just like, oh, there it is. Catch it.
And it's exciting because I don't know anything about it. I haven't even seen a trailer. All I know is that I love... Get Out, so I'm really excited to see this guy's second movie, Jordan Peele's, and also I'm a big fan of Lupita Nyong'o, so...
What a talent, Jordan Peele.
I know, right? And I hope that this has, like, the humour as well that Get Out had, because I don't like horror movies and I get very scared during them, so I'm really pleased that when we leave the cinema it will still be bright, it won't be right before bed, because I think that will help me watch it.
I've seen GIFs from this movie... Or even they're from the trailer or something on Twitter that are scary in themselves. Just gifts. The scariest gifts.
Oh, God.
So I'm well excited for this. Let's go in. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't believe how big they've got.
Did you hear Gabe got a boat?
He's kidding, right?
He's not kidding.
Hey, I think it's vodka o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Jason?
Jason!
Where were you?
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me and I'll keep you safe.
There's a family in our driveway.
It's probably the neighbors. But y'all scared of a family?
Hi, can I help you?
Zora, put your shoes on.
If you want to get crazy, we can get crazy.
Right, we're back. We're out of the cinema. We're walking home. We've seen Us.
The sun's gone now. We missed it.
Actually, do you know what? It's funny going in. We were saying how we were leaving a sunny day for a dark horror movie. A lot of the film was set in the sunshine.
Yeah.
It was on a beach. So it actually felt quite appropriate. Why don't we... I think we're going to need to go to Spoiler Street super soon. I think if you're... I think probably the best way to experience this movie is not knowing too much about it.
Yeah, I agree. So I would say if you don't know anything about it, like... Just go
watch
it. Yeah.
I do think it's worth watching. I thought it was really interesting.
I think it's definitely worth a watch.
There's
I think we should do like real initial thoughts and then we'll go straight to Spoiler Street.
Okay,
yeah?
top. My sort of feelings are it's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, the idea is awesome.
It's a very scary idea. And as it kind of unravels, I think the movie drops the ball a few times. For various reasons. I think some of the comedy, while it was quite subtly weaved in throughout, took me out of the horror at times when I thought I would rather have been scared, or it undercut the horror. I think at points it became almost ridiculous. Like the movie teeters on the ridiculous very frequently, and most of the time kind of pulls it off, but a few times I was like, okay, this is just silly. This is absolutely absurd. And not in a good way. But by the end, I was like, it goes full on batshit, is kind of where it goes. I've never seen anything like that. I've never, I've never experienced a concept even close to that, so it's really ambitious. I like that, and it's nothing like Get Out, so I think it's definitely worth a watch. I think overall it's successful. He did something very different, and I don't think it was a slam dunk, but I thought it was a good movie. And I was quite creeped out regularly, which I guess is the main purpose of a horror movie.
Well, it's an interesting one because, like, I don't watch horror and I'm very easily scared. And honestly, there was only one moment I found scary, and I'll say what it is in Spoiler Street.
Okay.
And I want to take this movie totally separately from Get Out, because Get Out is such a masterpiece that, like, it's not really fair to compare any movie to it. And it's not really fair to do the whole second album thing on somebody. Like, to have a first movie that's successful must be quite difficult in a way.
But would you agree that it's, at least he didn't stay, you know, stayed in the same genre, so to speak, for his second album, but it's an entirely different sound?
Oh, it's completely different, yeah.
And you know?
But what I, so first of all, Lupita Nyong'o is an even better actress than I realised. Like, she makes this movie. She's fantastic. I didn't interrupt you when you gave your initial review.
Sorry, go on.
The husband and kids were brilliant actors as well, but she, like, stole the show. It wasn't scary enough for me, and then it wasn't funny enough for me. And what it really lacked for me is, unless I missed it, and there's a very high chance I missed it, the social commentary that I was expecting from it wasn't there for me. I was expecting a certain depth that wasn't here for me.
I think we can tackle that in spoiler
but
was, street. Because I think...
Dave, I think once again, I didn't interrupt you when you were doing your initial review.
Okay.
So I think that was lacking for me a bit. I had certain expectations around some sort of social commentary. Didn't know what I was expecting. And then it really lagged for me at a point where I was genuinely bored. But I say all that thinking... totally agreeing with you, and that it's really unique, it's really cool. He's got an amazing eye as a director. He gets fantastic work out of actors. He comes up with really creative, cool premises. Like, he's an amazing mind to come up with this shit that he's done in this and Get Out. So I completely admire it. Like, I think it's, I love the idea, but for me the execution didn't quite work, and I think that is largely down to the running time of 2 hours, which was just too long.
Yeah, it's too long. Would you recommend it?
Oh yeah, I really recommend it. And there's something about it where it took ages for a scare to happen, which I admired, because that's very easy to do in a movie like this, to introduce some early scares to give the audience the jitters. And I admire that he didn't do it technically, but actually I wouldn't have minded it, because when I'm there for a horror film I want a few scares, and I just didn't get any. I didn't really have that sense of dread either that I usually have in horror. I was just kind of waiting to be scared.
I kind of disagree with you. I think this movie has actually, for a horror movie, gets into the nitty gritty quite quickly, like relatively. In terms of its running time, like the Get Out. If you think of Get Out, is like 90% dread and setup, without knowing what's going on, and then about 10% sort of action. This is about 30-70, I would say. Like there is an initial sort of creepy build up, setting the stakes, but by the bones of what the movie is happens quite quickly.
Yeah, but I just wasn't scared by it.
But I think that's kind of to the movie's detriment in a way, because
that's what I'm saying. It wasn't scary enough.
Quite early,
yeah,
in terms of the scares, and because that initial when okay, can we just go to Spoiler Street?
Go to Spoiler Street.
So we're gonna spoil Oz now if you haven't seen it.
Spoilers for Us.
So for me, that moment when. Creepiest moment of the movie is there's a family outside.
Yeah, family outside. Family on the driveway was terrifying, and that's when I turned to Dave and said, oh shit, I have to leave. I can't watch this. Like, this is petrifying.
Did you say that?
Oh, I was turning to you and going, I can't cope with this. That's what I meant. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. And then I was never scared again after that. Honestly, nothing lived up to that for me.
Well,
everything was farcical and like silly, but Lupita Nyong'o was like double when she was speaking and going,
Okay.
So I was like, really, like she was scary. And
when she started speaking like that, I thought, this is horrifying. And then, because she had so much dialogue to get through as that read the alternate.
Yeah, it got less scary.
It got less scary, and that's a good example of what I mean by it teetered on ridiculous, and then occasionally slipped into ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because sometimes she was going like, "I had a rabbit for dinner," or whatever, and then you're like, "Oh, this is kind of like a joke now." Or like,
yeah,
it almost would have been like less is more with that.
They
if she had spoken. Very infrequently.
Yeah.
Because
the others
really
didn't speak at all, so it was cool that she was able to speak, but it should have been more subtle.
We know now why she was the only one that spoke.
But
because
what I have to say is what really, like, in that, but in, to that point of, like, overdoing the speech, and I don't want to sound negative because I still think this is a really good movie, but they really laboured the explanation at the end, and I find this kind of horror kind of scary stuff is always better when it's left unexplained, and like, by God, by the end we knew what had happened with these bloody tethers.
Yeah, big
it
exposition
on
dump.
And on and on, and I was like, oh, this is ruined, this is like pulling the curtain, you know, on the Wizard of Oz.
So
like, it's
agree.
Not interesting anymore.
Less is more. And actually, sorry to just wheel back slightly to that moment that we were talking about, which is there's a family outside. The reason that's the scariest moment of the movie is because it's the promise of what, and the mystery of what is that?
Yeah.
There's just four people standing in a driveway looking at you and not moving, and that's such a scary image in itself, and also you don't know what the hell it is or who they are or anything, and that's the promise. So that's the reason, and it's like that Blair Witch thing. The reason the end of the Blair Witch is so scary is because they didn't show you anything, and your imagination is more powerful than anything they can ever show you. So in that moment, our imaginations are running wild.
But I think it was really scary right up until the point, because when we started seeing them all and they came out of the shadows and they're all in the living room together, and then the family we're following ended up sitting on the sofa, and I think all up until that point was brilliant. So even the initial introduction to them was brilliant, and the initial scene with Lupita Nyong'o talking. And then it was just silly, and like,
it's
such a shame. I wanted to like this movie more, but I still admire it. Like, I'm not being negative about it. I'm disappointed that it's just the way it went was just a bit all over the place by the end. I felt like it was just a bit of a mess. I hate to sound really, I don't want to sound critical about it. Like this, I wanted to come out and be raving about this movie. But I don't know. I don't know if there's much to say about it.
The thing is though, okay, so in that moment, what you just described, the moment where they invade, it's really scary, and then they all end up on the couch. I thought that was going to be the movie, and certainly that's what I thought I saw from the trailer, was that I thought it's a home invasion movie, and the whole movie was going to be that. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Them trying to get in. And I think if you gave this sort of to any other horror film director, that would be the easier route, as in that's the more conventional route, is you have a 90-minute tight home invasion movie, which we've kind of seen a lot, but the difference is doppelgangers, right? They're trying to get in, one of them gets in, slip out on the roof, whatever. We've seen that a million times.
When the dad took the dad's... They're basically zombies, right? The dad zombie took the normal dad's glasses.
Yeah.
That was a lovely touch.
But the fact that it didn't, like, as soon as they got sat on the couch and then Lupita Nyong'o Red started talking, this creepy exposition dump, I was like, my brain was like, oh, it's like, what is this? This is weird and interesting. So I gotta, like, admire Jordan Peele for doing something really weird
really
and interesting. And also, the other thing is, that scene kind of ends that what we thought was the movie, in that when the four of them get away on the boat quite conveniently. So I thought it was like, oh, they've all escaped.
And then it was brilliant when they got to the, like, rich people's house and they all just die, like Elizabeth Moss, who
was
brilliant.
They were all very
that
enjoyable.
Was fun, they were just there to die. But one thing that I really loved in the movie was the music. I thought the use of music was really cool.
I mean, the I Got Five on It track, and what they did with that was, and that's kind of it, that was used in the trailer as well, but I didn't realise. I thought it might have been just a clever marketing thing, but it's kind of integral to the movie. And they really, like, it's quite excellently done in the final climactic scene with Lupita versus Lupita, where they kind of pull the strings from it, and it's like,
yeah, but I thought that final scene with Lupita versus Lupita was the one that I was dying for, and I thought it was awful. I thought it was the worst part of the movie, which I surprised myself by thinking that. I was really disappointed in that. What I love the idea of fighting someone who's like 100% your physical equal, because they're physically identical to you. That's quite cool. But it just, it didn't come off for me at all. And then when it got to the twist, I don't get the twist.
Which twist? That she...
Which twist? That Lupita was the baddie all along.
Well, okay, so this is how I understand it. She... Okay, so the bad Lupita was the one who escaped to the surface world, so to speak. And that's the reason why she wouldn't speak after the event, because none of them were able to speak.
Yeah, so she had to learn it.
And then she kind of learned how to speak through dance, I guess, or whatever, and that was what set her free. Meanwhile, the other Lupita is trapped down below...
No, I get all that. And then she can speak and she rises up to lead them.
Yeah, and that's where the holding hands plan came from, because it was all her, she led the revolution.
But why? It was almost like... I get all that, right? What I don't get is it was almost like right at the end. It was only then that, like, the Lupita we were following seemed to only just remember that she was the baddie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the bit I didn't get. And the other one said to her... Why didn't you take me with you? So the other Lupita, Red, seemed to not realise that she'd originally been the one who lived upstairs and then moved downstairs. It was like neither of them remember that bit, which is why it was silly, because I don't agree with twists when even the characters themselves don't seem to realise something.
Look, I'm not quite sure the ins and outs of that, and I'm sure people...
What do you think? Do you think that was...
I would rather talk about more interesting things about the movie, like the symbolism and...
Excuse me, you can't tell me what I'm talking about isn't interesting.
Okay, sorry, no.
I'm trying to unpick the... I genuinely walked out of there...
I don't have the answer.
...saying I don't understand it. Whereas I walked out of Get Out being like, I get it, it's so clever, it's amazing commentary on, like, social and racist issues. This is like, huh? That's just a twist for a twist.
I think maybe she escaped... Okay, so maybe it's the... And I'm speculating because I don't know. The underground Lupita... got up there and then just had escaped and just led her normal life. Maybe she didn't know the whole time that, because she said she knew, she felt like that presence had always been there and that she was coming. If you think of the very beginning of the movie, she says to her husband, she's coming, they're coming. She didn't want to go to the beach. She had a feeling it was all there.
Why? If you had PTSD of like a specific place and you'd had this horror all your life, okay, A, for some reason you've decided never to tell your husband, even though apparently you go to this house every summer. And then B, when your husband says, let's go to the beach, you go, I don't want to. And then you go, okay.
Because he said, well, Jason really wants to go.
Why are you on the beach? All this awful stuff happened to you. And I thought that was probably...
Okay.
One of the second best scene of the movie, aside from the one where the family all arrive in the driveway, was the bit initially when she was in the fairground.
Oh, really,
that was
scary,
really ominous,
really creepy.
And you knew something awful was going to happen.
But I think the twist didn't really land for me. Didn't really add anything to the story, and just felt like a cheap twist. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, felt really cheap.
And
yeah.
And I think, like you say, the fact that the two of us are coming out a little confused by it means it didn't quite work either.
And I love a twist. It's just, for me, it felt like it didn't quite add up. That was the bit I didn't get.
I mean, you want to talk about symbolism.
You
brought it up earlier and you were trying to figure it out. I was also trying to figure it out, and I'm sure there's 100, it's been out since Friday, so I'm sure there's 100 essays online about what people think it means. And that's the kind of good thing about movies and art or whatever, you can interpret it anyway. I think for me the crucial line was at the very in when she sits them down and does her big croaky sort of exposition speech about who she is and eating rabbits and nonsense, and I had to cut them out with the scissors, and she says, we're Americans, which I think that's a crucial line, because I think it's a social commentary about America and how America is at the moment being kind of torn apart on the inside by itself, and by the very people who are Americans. And there's also something...
Or do you think it's something about the people being attacked who are just like them, and that they're human, but they're being dehumanized because they're of another nationality?
Oh yeah, well possibly. I hadn't considered that.
I'm only trying to apply logic.
You could also look at it as like the rise of populism in America, in that there was a lot of sort of religious connotations, but this person from this underground sort of subjugated, say, a class, who sort of organized everyone to rise up against their oppressors, who they perceived to be wealthy people in America, the establishment, because everyone was very clearly wealthy. It's in a very privileged, sunny state. The sort of the other family were particularly wealthy and influential, and they sort of took the country back. They thought what was rightfully theirs, and they were all holding hands together in a form of sort of symbolic movement from the 80s, which again is like a lot of people looking back to a better time. That's what
Make
America Great Again.
Yeah, but that's all a bit of a stretch. And
isn't reading symbolism into things always a little bit of a stretch?
Yeah, but I think if that's it, we're reaching a bit to find it, and the movie didn't deliver that. Like, you know what I mean? That wasn't like.
But certainly, it felt like, and she mentions God quite a lot. She mentions, "I found God, and now we rose up, and we've been planning this for a long time."
I didn't get. So what? You went and bought a load of fugly jumpsuits in red and like disgusting matching sandals. Like, where did they all come from?
The
uniform
is creepy.
The explanation made no sense when they were like, "The tethered were created by humans."
No, what's
but
more
they
confusing?
Have to share
oh, sorry.
A soul. But what? I was like, okay. What? And then they just move on and start doing their stupid dance. At one point, I thought they were going to ballet dance together.
No, Kathy,
awesome.
Sorry. I got to say, it wasn't confusing to me that the tethered, or whatever they're called, were all wearing individual jumpsuits in their fucking demi lair under the ground.
I didn't say it was confusing. I'm just like, no, when she organized the revolution, where did she find the jumpsuits?
No, let me finish. That's not confusing if they were all wearing individual jumpsuits, because that makes sense that these underground creatures would all be wearing uniform. What didn't make sense to me was that in the 1986 flashback, when all the sort of mirror people underneath the world were doing the same movements as the people up above.
That was a cool sequence.
Very cool and a really interesting idea. But they were wearing the same clothes. So how does that make sense? Why would they all have the identical clothes that they were wearing that day?
Well, I mean, none of it makes sense, which is why the more they explained it, the sillier it got.
And what's almost worse is that it's almost better to explain it away as something supernatural or weird, underground people. But she kind of implied that they were created by humans as an experiment.
Yeah. No, she didn't imply. She said it.
Yeah.
And then the humans abandoned them.
They were cloned.
It was all real, really quick, weird exposition. So she's like, they tethered us to control the ones upstairs.
Yeah, so the idea was to... Well, I mean, I'd love to have been in the room when the scientists pitched this.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we're going to clone the entire human race. They're going to live in these sort of waiting rooms with rabbits. No, stay with me.
And their outfits will change daily.
And then we get to control the people upstairs by manipulating their movements. Are you with me? Can I get the funding? Let's do this. Let's
roll. Make it happen.
And then, no, sorry, your funding's cut. No, let's just leave everyone.
Your funding's cut now. You all just get one jumpsuit, okay?
And also,
one pair of sandals.
And bad news, we forgot to build an up escalator. So you're all staying down there.
Do you know what I quite liked, actually, Elizabeth Moss? The way her character on the upside was like, hated her husband. And then I kind of got the impression that the one downstairs like loved
kinda
her husband.
Kind of loved her husband.
Whereas
yeah,
Lupita Nyong'o's was the opposite. She was like, oh, just because you married him, then I had to marry Abraham.
Oh, that's
awful.
True.
But I just, I hate to sound, and we sound like we're being like overly critical. I think the reason we're kind of analysing it so much is because we...
Did you say manalizing?
No, analyzing. Because we admire Jordan Peele so much that we're like, you know, we're like really trying to apply a lot of layers to this because we're like really looking for them. Not sure they were there. And I think, honestly, I'm being honest here. I think if you're looking for like a really scary horror film, this probably isn't the film for you. If you're looking for a really good comedy, this is probably not the film for you. But if you're looking for a unique movie that you can't quite fit into any genre, this is definitely the film for you.
Yeah,
like, I don't even think I'd call it a horror.
I can't see this being a big crowd pleaser.
Well, interestingly, I saw it on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was like really high for audience for critic score, like over 90, but it was like 60 for audience
yeah,
score.
Yeah, that feels about right. And even coming out of our screening just now, I could hear people having conversations, and somebody said to his girlfriend, who's like, "What's the chain thing? I don't get it." It's like, I mean, certainly that felt kind of symbolic to me without any
symbolic, sort of but of what like
constructive reasoning.
Yeah,
it.
I mean, it was a cool visual at the end. All the red bodies going across, that looked
cool. Oh, it was
cool.
Amazing. Well, I've never seen it. But actually, speaking of visuals, he put a lot. Certainly in the earlier section, he put a lot of interesting visuals to do with mirrors. Like there was that amazing. Or alternative selves. Well, obviously there was this sort of the ride that she went on, which said "find yourself," which is pretty bang on the nose. But there was like when they first get on the beach, there was this overhead shot of them walking, and their shadows were really long.
That was cool.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it looked. I mean, it's actually a very cool looking movie, and I'd say more interesting looking than Get Out was. I mean, you can tell it has a bigger budget. But we should mention before we wrap up, because we have to wrap up now, that we actually really recently, like a week ago, did a really big review of Get Out on our friend Kobe and Helen do a podcast called Flix Watcher. They've been on this podcast before. But yeah, Flix Watcher, where they review movies on Netflix. And it was their 100th episode, and they asked us to guest host, and we all reviewed Get Out. So if you head over there, you can hear a big discussion on us loving Get Out. But yeah, I think, I mean, so yeah, definitely, it's certainly, he's an amazing filmmaker. Like, I can't wait to see what he does next. But I think I need to dwell on this one. Maybe this isn't a good one to do Cinemile on, because I think I need to think about it a bit more. I might read a few articles analysing it and come back to you.
Yeah, certainly it's the kind of thing that makes you a bit hungry for more explanation.
Yeah, or I want to go and read some fan articles
or interpretation.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of right in that you can apply any interpretation to most things, and it mightn't even be what he intended or what he meant. But that's kind of fun. I think it's fun to sort of interpret.
It is fun. But what I loved about Get Out was the explicit nature of the commentary, because I thought it was amazing. And I thought it was like commentary that needed to be explicit, whereas I don't quite know where this one was going. But we need to wrap up, because we have to go and collect your child from where he is playing with friends.
That was weird. Cryptic. Why did you say that?
I don't know. And coming up next week, though, you may notice this is episode 149. We accidentally have almost arrived in our 150th episode.
Not accidentally. Well, we very deliberately but we created all these episodes.
We suddenly realised, oh shit, it's our 150th episode, and we've not planned anything. So we came up with an idea today, which we're quite pleased about. We're going to record two episodes for 150th. And I'm going to pick a movie that I've always wanted to watch with Dave that he's not watched with me. And he's going to pick a movie he's always wanted me to watch with him. And we're going to do two episodes where we each review them and watch them together at home. So that should be really fun.
We don't know what they are yet. We've got a few ideas.
Clearly we've done a lot of planning.
But you will find out next week.
Yeah, and I can't believe we've gone through 150 episodes. Yeah. And actually I realise it's more than 150, because whenever we do bonus episodes, we don't put numbers on them.
Oh yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
150 main episodes, whatever.
We've been rolling this baby out
for a long time.
But we gotta go.
Okay,
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Let us know your interpretation of what it all means.
Yeah, and if you liked it, and I hope you did. And also, thank you. I banged on about iTunes reviews last week, but actually, and the week before, people did leave us some, and I really appreciate it. We read every review, so thank you
so much.
Yes,
thank you, everyone. And thank you for everyone who talks to us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Cinemile.
Yeah, bye.
And now we must go and get Oscar. Because the great untethering from the babysitter. All right, bye. Bye.
That's a classic right there.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.